Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 1153 for November 23rd, 2021. On today's episode, Craig and I will talk through the Walt Disney World news that was released at this past weekend's Destination D23 event. We'll also talk about Craig's adventures at the three-day event, and maybe even about the fact that he got to be in the same room at the same time as Kermit the Frog. While we are not in the Bob Barley studio today, we are definitely live. My name is Denny Senderly, and I am filling in for Pete Werner. And of course, I'm joined by ever-faithful executive producer Craig Williams.
Hello. Hi, Denny.
Hi, Craig.
Oh,
hello.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
Excellent. I'm doing all right. I'm a little stressed about a turkey. I get to make a turkey for the first time in my live long days this week. But other than that, it's all good. But we are so glad that all of you have joined us today. I want to say a special hi to live chat. If you are watching us live and you are talking along with the episode, we just love getting to jump in there and see what you're talking about today. So hello there. Of course, as always, we are sponsored by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams help you plan the next Disney vacation of your dreams. Check them out today at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, and you can request a free, no obligation quote. And of course, if you enjoy this episode, please consider giving it a thumbs up. Hit that thumbs up button, give it a like, and subscribe to the channel if you'd like to. It really helps us out, and we greatly appreciate it. All right, so let's get housekeeping out of the way at the top of the show, Craig, so that we can just talk about the cavalcade of Walt Disney World news. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect. I'm going to go first, if you don't mind.
Do it.
Okay. As you said, obviously, you are not Pete Werner. Unfortunately, nice. Pete did come down with a little bit of a chest illness today. And because of that, he did not want us over at his house to record. So that's why we're obviously doing this way. Exactly. And on top of that, too, Fiasco is also out sick, probably as the person who gave it to Pete. Rhino's on vacation. John and Kevin are busy getting ready for the holiday season. So this was one of those things where we felt like there's definitely stuff that is warranted to talk about right now, especially the annual pass news that has a lot of people up in craziness, and then also as well to some of the news out of Destination D23. There's just so much. So we figured, you know what? It's Thanksgiving week. Why not remember what we have to be thankful for, that we do this for a living, and come on YouTube and chat with some friends for a while, or to all the people out there listening through whatever podcast service they do. So that's why we're not in studio. That's why Pete's not here. It's so we don't start a contagion thread throughout the entire team.
That was so much fun 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, no, we do appreciate that. And we hope that Pete and Fiasco feel better very, very quickly. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Housekeeping on my end of things, just two quick things. Number one, Magic Candle Company, one of the sponsors of the show, has sprinkled a little pixie dust on our discount code for this week only. It ends on Cyber Monday, so November 29th. So right now, our discount code is for 20% off, as opposed to the normal 15% off, which is a great deal anyhow, but 20 is even better. So Disney Info, that's the code for you to enter at checkout for your 20% off. And right now, if your order, all orders above 50, ship for free. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So if you've got some Christmas shopping to do, you've got a great discount code. And then secondly, and certainly not least, Podcast Cruise is coming up. The next Podcast Cruise is in May. It's May the 16th through the 20th on the Disney Dream. We are so excited about it. Plans are being made feverishly. But if you would like to make plans to be on that ship, please check out the button at the top of the homepage, www.info.com. You'll click on that green button and find all the information you need. You can also head to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com and look up information on that as well. We hope that you can come. Even though we don't have anything, we don't have a schedule of events right now, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yep.
And for my housekeeping, I just want to do a quick plug for Connecting with Walt. I mentioned at the end of last week's episode that we were getting ready to go on our holiday hiatus soon, and we'll be back again in 2022. But our final episode of the year is a Christmas memories episode from your time at the Christmas parks. And if you don't know what Connecting with Walt is, it's our audio exclusive history show hosted by Michael Bowling. And I am the color commentary person on that show. I don't bring the history, but I bring the, comments like, oh, wow, that's neat. Wow. Things like that. I'm like the Owen Wilson of that show. But we have already cut off the time to send in your stories in terms of like written out. We are recording that episode merely hours from now as I'm speaking. So I don't have time to throw in any more, giving us time to read over and make sure that everything's ready to go. But I'm going to keep open the audio submissions up until Thanksgiving night, because I don't put the show together until Thursday night. So you can still submit audio telling us about your favorite Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or International Disney Parks Christmas memory if you want to be a part of that show. And if you don't already listen to Connecting with Walt, yeah, we're going to be gone for a month through all of December, but we'll be back in the new year. So you have plenty of time to catch up. Start from the recent episodes or all the way at the beginning. And I highly recommend it. It's more of this amazing voice that you get to hear right
Yay.
Now. Yeah.
The dulcet tones of Craig Williams.
Yes, yes. I'm done though.
Connecting with Walt is so fantastic. I was listening to the Tombstone episode. I'm behind just a little bit, as you can tell, as I was cooking dinner last night. It's just so good to have on. And before you know it, you just soak in, you know, names of the nine old men and all the Disney trivia and the history. It's just so, so good. And you and Michael are so great on it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. All right. So should we just jump into the news, Craig? What do you think?
Yep, I think we should.
All right, let's go for it. We have got just a treasure trove of information here, but we're going to start with one that wasn't announced at Destination D23. In fact, it was announced once everything was wrapped up at Destination D23. The weekend was finished, everything tied off with a bow, and then later that night, the news was released, and it was updated on Walt Disney World's website that the sales of new annual passes would be halted. Now, from what we understand, this is a temporary halt. We've been reminded that the verbiage when they came back online in late August was, hey, this could be halted at any time, or paused. They like to use the word paused. And right now, the only new annual pass sales that are happening are for the Pixie Dust Pass for Florida residents only, which essentially is your weekday only pass. And no Christmas, no Thanksgiving, and no 3 weeks around spring break and Easter. So, yeah, that has happened. And it happened in the dark of night, the cover of night, and we all woke up to it on Monday morning.
Oh, I was following along the night that it happened. So I was like, is this big enough that I wake up everyone else? But I was like, no, we all need sleep. We're all exhausted. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, we knew that it was potential to happen at some point in time, but I didn't think it was to actually happen, let alone if that was going to happen, all levels of annual passes, minus the Florida resident one that is like the bare minimum that you can get from it, which it's just like, it is, I will admit, it's this week, especially with it being Thanksgiving week, it's made it very difficult to get annual passes. And I get frustrated with that, but at the same time too, I booked 3 passes for all of this week last week, and had pretty much wide open availability in terms of parks. I think Magic Kingdom was down for a day or two, but even then, that was just Monday through, I don't even want to count Monday, because I think Monday was open till just a little bit ago, but that was really Tuesday through Friday. And as of like just this morning when I checked, Thanksgiving Day was open in at least one or two parks. And then the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, had limited availability in a couple of the parks. And then once you hit Monday, it's back to wide open. So, you know, while the annual pass problem has a chance to get out of hand in terms of too many pass holders, I didn't feel like it was already there, except in a week like this where, yeah, people are off work. People are taking extra vacation. Of course, they want to go into the theme parks, but all three out of the four being gone, that's nuts. And I haven't been following it closely enough, too. Are they literally saying people who have a Disney Vacation Club that don't have an annual pass right now don't even have the option to get it anymore because technically that one is closed off?
I would think so. Right now, if you have an AP that is up for renewal, you can still renew. So this is only on new sales. So we'll have to have somebody who is DVC who is a DVC expert, like the experts at DVC fam, chime in on that because if you're up for renewal, you're okay. But Craig, what I thought of was, and I said this to my husband yesterday, like, what about the families who had this idea of going big for the holidays and getting one of the loved ones or the whole family, because it's been, you know, a couple of years already, like, goodness, annual passes for a gift. Like, that's a huge gift. But still, what if, like, okay, that option is gone. And the whole idea that it's being paused and we don't know when they're going to hit that button again to release them again. It's just, I don't think it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while. And it's a shame, and it's abrupt, and it's jarring. And it's a great reminder that we are, you know, if we haven't had enough of them, we are living in a new Disney world these days, a very new one.
Yeah. I mean, we keep talking about, you know, you pay more and you get less. In this situation, you're not able to pay at all and get anything out of it. But I am floored by this actually happening, especially right before the holiday season. Maybe that's why they are doing it. Maybe it's because they, you know, they kind of had a feeling that things were going to go out of control with people giving annual passes as gifts or something. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I mean, I feel like there are people out there who do that. You know, we know that it's a big time of the year for people they're getting the inkling of wanting to plan a trip. They surprise the whole family right at Christmas with, hey, we're going to plan a trip. And then they end up booking it right at the beginning of the year and start making their full-fledged plans with it. But I feel like a lot of people are going to lose out that wanted it to be that special present right around the holiday season. I feel like it's another slap in the face to all the fans. It's just one after the other after the other. And, you know, if you've been on any form of social media as of lately, with the news of annual passes, three out of the four annual passes not being sold anymore, plenty of people pointing out, it's, you know, SeaWorld isn't canceling, or they're not putting a stop on selling annual passes. Universal hasn't. Granted, they're not the same as Disney. I know people aren't necessarily theme park fans. They're Disney World fans or Disney fans. Yes. So I understand that. But as the conversation keeps happening, people are clearly pointing out, A, these kind of pauses in annual pass sales aren't necessary, and B, park reservations are absolutely also not necessary. And some of the ridiculous rules with park reservations and park hopping after two and such, this is time of the year that's supposed to be magical and happy. And it's getting just a little bit more frustrating. And news about shows and such that should have already returned isn't enough to just, you know, heal those wounds. But
yeah. And like Pete likes to say, It just felt very guest hostile. And I mean, especially if, like you were saying, this is the time at which some families may start planning their next vacation. And a lot of times, you know, we had dear friends in Maryland who did this. They, you know, one member of the family bought an annual pass so that they could enjoy some of those annual pass perks on their, you know, any discounts or, you know, room rate, whatever discount of some sort is available for their trip. So that eliminates that. That eliminates the gifting during the holidays. It eliminates a lot. And it's just the irony of it being released once everything was said and done and packed up from the ballrooms at Disney's Contemporary Resort after Destination D23. And then this information is announced that irony is not lost on me. I see you. Why? Why do you have to go and do that? We had the weekend was good. There was celebration happening. And now this, which is incredibly, it just feels guest hostile.
Yep.
So. But definitely, if you are watching this afterwards, let us know your thoughts in the comments section. We'd love to, you know, read and hear what you're thinking, also in live chat for sure. But now we are going to open the treasure box that is every single thing that was mentioned, including some things, a whole list of things that was lauded that we actually knew about already. But let's talk about the fun things that we didn't actually know. And I want to start with food, as all good things should, and Epcot food, which is a good thing. We knew, obviously, I don't know that we mourn the loss of Electric Umbrella, bless its heart. It was a touchstone to Epcot history, but I'm not so sure. It was not good. It just was not good.
After what we're about to talk about, we're talking about it with a group of friends saying, you know, like things about Electric Umbrella, and like the only positive thing, I didn't have a lot of bad meals there. I actually had some surprisingly decent ones there, but the best thing I could offer to it was I liked that there was two levels of seating, and I loved sitting up on the second floor and hearing the music loop. That was the best thing about Electric Umbrella.
I completely agree with you. Yeah, that second floor was fantastic. Always a little quieter, and you could absolutely sit under one of those speakers and hear the fantastic music loud and clear. So we knew that we were getting a new quick service location. It's been announced that it will be called the Connections Cafe and Eatery. So Josh D'Amaro, his big speech at D23, if you didn't watch the live stream, was themed to the idea of connections. And just kind of, you know, trying to have everything based and connecting the dots, literally, for Disney fans and their fandom. So this is Connections Cafe and Eatery. It looks to be a really nice, bright space. It ties in cohesively, aesthetically with Creation Shop that we're going to find right across the way there. So that's, I guess, nice. We don't know a whole lot about Connections Cafe and Eatery. And to be honest, the name Connections Cafe and Eatery, I'm just like, whatever. I don't know. That sounds like an information booth, like Connections. Stop by Connections Cafe after today's session, and we'll give you all the information that you need. But it's going to be a new eatery. I'm looking forward to trying all the food, because new food has the potential to be a very good thing. And I'm really hoping it is here.
Yeah. The thing that has me a little bit intrigued about Connections is at the concept art, it looks like there's an open concept kitchen to a little bit of an extent off to the right side of it. There's definitely like a glass partition, and it looks like there's cast members behind potentially cooking. So I enjoy the thought of that, because if it is open like that, I'm hoping that also means that the food quality will be striving to be a little bit better than just burgers and chicken tenders, because that's not exciting to watch getting cooked. But a little bit more sophisticated quick service would definitely be intriguing to see them preparing it right there. So I have at least high hopes for this to be the next level of quick service. And let's be real. Look at Woody's Lunchbox. Look at Satoli Canteen. Docking Bay 7. Walt Disney World has definitely picked up on the notion that while you need burgers and fries and chicken tenders and hot dogs in some places, there's also an opening for that higher quality quick service. And so I think that's where they're going to go with connections. And I will always take more restaurants like that.
Absolutely. If it's something vaguely akin to what we've got with Satuli Canteen, yes, please. That I love that you pointed out that it looks like there's an open concept kitchen. That would, you know, a show kitchen to the rest of the, you know, like you said, if you're just frying up chicken nuggets, that's not going to be what you really want to show off to everybody who came in to eat today. But if it's actually something that's freshly made, oh my gosh, that'd be great. That'd be great for sure. It would be. So we also got the timeline for the debut of Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which I am super excited for. I cannot wait to ride this attraction. I know you are probably in the same boat, Craig.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait. We knew it was going to be 2022. We now know it's summer of 2022. We had all kind of conjectured, well, when during 2022, you know, the big anniversary is in October, so maybe it'll be by then. But the fact that they're moving it away from that anniversary is very interesting. And of course, you have been inside the show building, Gregory Williams.
I have.
And you have attested to the fact that it looks like done pretty much.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. It has to go through its testing and such. And I know, what panel was it? I think it was one of the panels throughout the weekend at Destination D23. They did mention that they had to go over to Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. Specifically, I believe it had to do with the audio video portion of the attraction. So they definitely, you know, they needed James Gunn to film the portions for the attraction that utilized all of the characters. And then that needed to get inserted and then, you know, syncing it all together. There is definitely still a ways to go, but if they wanted to just launch the roller coaster without all those special, without the special video and audio and light and all that, I think all they needed to do was just pass the testing and they could have fired it up and started putting people on right away. Like this, it's a done attraction in that regard. So, I'm still blown away by the summer 2022. Timeline. I was expecting 2023. And then when they said 2022, I was saying, okay, it's going to be October. That's the right time to go. And now to say summer, I mean, granted, that can be anywhere towards like the last week of June through all the way into August. It still leaves a big timetable open. I wouldn't be surprised if we would see that end of June area, though, that worked out really well for Toy Story Land a couple of years ago. And it gets people excited right before the 4th of July season. Not that you need extra people to come in for 4th of July. They're already there. But I mean, the same argument can be made for summer in general. To convince people to go during one of the times a year that families in particular during one of the times of the years that they're actually able to travel. This thing is getting real. It is getting really real. And while I am still hesitant on the overall outcome of this attraction, I love Guardians of the Galaxy and I love a good coaster. You know, it also makes me think, too, with how it looks, is that it can just be moving nausea all around. But I'm sure Disney is working hard to make sure that this is as seamless as possible, so that way we're not just making people purely ill. But you know, look at Mission Space. It wouldn't be the first time that things accidentally happen.
True. Yeah, if we get in the attraction vehicle and there are barf bags there, then we've got problems. possibly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I can't wait. It's a reverse launch. Glenn Close is back as Nova Prime. They showed a clip of her welcoming the crowd at Destination D23. So that's just really exciting. I too love Guardians. I love following James Gunn on social because he'll drop behind the scenes things. He'll drop hints and things like that. He is proud of this attraction. I'm just really, really looking forward to it. We can talk about its cohesion in the story of Epcot and whether or not it should be there and mm-hmm. all that jazz another day. For now, we'll just be excited that it's coming.
Yep.
So, yay. Newcastle, there's some things happening, new stuff coming to the Magic Kingdom, from a new castle show to the return of a favorite parade and all that jazz. So let's go over the Magic Kingdom real quick. We are getting Mickey's Magical Friendship Fair, a new castle show, will debut in 2022. And a lot of these things, we've just been told it's 2022. We don't have a timeline more specific than that right now. I'm sure they'll let us know eventually when they are ready to let us know. But we are actually getting a daily castle show back. And I've got to confess that have taken the castle shows for granted. Like, I've heard the pyrotechnics go off and I'm there for another attraction, or I'm doing something else, I'm in with my family, that kind of thing. And oh yeah, that's, you know, oh, the castle show's happening. I will never again take a castle show for granted, because I'm super excited that we are getting something back. It was so much fun to stand at the foot of that stage with Jackie during Disney Very Merriest After Hours and just see people dancing on the stage again and singing and characters and having fun. So I don't know how you feel about it, Craig, but I, for one, I'll be glad to see it back.
Yeah. Well, I don't hate this show. So this is mm-hmm. basically, you know, while it is newish in a way that the beginning and ending will be new, it's Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair, the mm-hmm. last stage show that was on there, just with a new name, Mickey's Magical Friendship Fair. And mm-hmm. it's been updated, that beginning and end, for the 50th anniversary. So yeah, you know, I'm excited to see performers back on stage as part mm-hmm. of it. But at the same time, too, I also I'm opposed to castle stage shows. I think they disrupt the flow of traffic. It disrupts the fact of being able to walk through the castle, which is something that I think has been beautiful about the past year and a half. And plus with that, I love being able to not be like, okay, I want to go walk through the castle. Can't right now. There's a stage show happening. Then that's where all your performers are coming and going from. So they are more of a nuisance to me. I prefer seeing characters in parade format or in meet and greets versus the actual stage shows. But, you know, I also understand that I am only one of many people, and there are a lot of people who love these shows. So, you know what? I'm happy for you if you're excited about getting this stage show back.
I am, but you do bring up a valid point about not being able to walk through the castle and do what you need to do. So there is something about, like you said, there's something to be said about a beautiful picture of just at the foot of the castle up. You don't have to worry about anything, and you can kind of walk right through there if you want to at any time. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to having those sweet characters jumping all around. Again, that'll be a lot of fun to get to see that happen. And I know for families who are visiting, getting, you know, especially for little ones, getting to see those characters is a really, really big deal.
Yeah.
So, also the beloved Festival of Fantasy Parade will return in 2022. Huzzah. glad it'll be back. It's about time.
Yeah. I mean,
that's my thought.
Kind of going off what we just said with the stage shows and such, I'm more of a parade person than a stage show person. And I have to admit, though, I am more of a cavalcade person than a Festival of Fantasy person. I do love Festival of Fantasy, but to me, there is something that works better about seeing little pieces of parades throughout the day randomly rather than just all in one group. However, there's also other news that we are going to get to as well, too, that implies that Festival of Fantasy is coming back, but that doesn't mean cavalcades themselves are coming to an end. I'm not sure if the new cavalcade that is coming is more of a replacement for Move It, Shake It, whatever the last
Mouse could name
was.
It.
Yeah, whatever. It's gone through 19 names, all the same thing. I'm not sure if that's more of the replacement for that, because, you know, technically they could argue that Move It, Shake It was a cavalcade that happened randomly throughout the day featuring all your favorite characters. You know, Festival of Fantasy, I think that is great. That has been one of the, you know, in the list of complaints from people, it was, where's the parade? Bring back the parade, bring back meet and greets, bring back fireworks. We have fireworks back. We have meet and greets back for the most part-ish in terms of you can see them, but still, you know, still physically distance and such. So not quite the same, but getting closer to it. And now we're getting the parade back. So in the long list of things that should have returned a long time ago, but haven't, this is another entry to that list. So it's something to be excited about, but also at the same time, let's not just pat them on the back for bringing back something that should already be there. That's,
you know, Craig, that's, and you've made reference to it earlier too, that this was all these announcements were made with such aplomb and like we should all be going crazy and out of our minds. And I'm sitting there watching the live stream going, wait, we knew about that. We knew about that. Okay. Churros are back. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't understand. So absolutely. The parade should have been back prior. I agree completely. We have those amazing floats sitting backstage. We have people who are congregating. I mean, you're doing a parade now at Very Merriest. Let's just have Festival of Fantasy back. I do fear that it's going to be edited in much the same way that the After Hours Christmas parade was edited. And so maybe that's what's taken a bit of time, is figuring out how to edit that parade down to 9 minutes, whatever. I hope it's not edited too terribly, because that is a parade that was created specifically for the Magic Kingdom, and that parade should be rolling down the streets of the Magic Kingdom for sure.
Yeah. And clearly with some of these parade decisions and stuff, editing them, shortening them, however we want to call it, that is definitely a factor that's been at play with it. And, you know, I hesitate on mentioning this, but I know our chat's kind of talking about it a little bit, but so that's why I'll throw it in there while we're on the parade topic, is that everyone expected to hear news that Paint the Night would be coming to Walt Disney World, and that we would get a nighttime parade. And, you know, it's one of those things. Yep. I have heard it in rumors and murmurs, and then, you know, you see some websites posting about it, and it all started feeling like it was lining up. Granted, we knew that if that show is to ever come to Walt Disney World, that changes have to be made, because it's just the length of some of those floats. It's not possible to actually have them anywhere here. It's not at Hollywood Studios, because it has to make the tightest turn right at the entrance of the park, you know, because you have the Crossroads of the World standing right there. Mm-hmm. So that makes it very difficult. That's why motorcades work perfectly there, but they also have had parades there before too. So it's not completely impossible. At Magic Kingdom, there's also the Liberty Square area. It's very tight to get through. So, you know, if we ever get a nighttime parade, it that is like Paint the Night, it will be different from the version that we already have seen. But it felt like you deflated a balloon in that room when we got through not just the news presentation, but then also the entertainment portion, because twice. We expected to be able to hear about it twice, that clearly they have to bring back. Fans are being very vocal. We want a nighttime parade at Magic Kingdom or at any park in general. I'll say at Walt Disney World. Just give us a freaking nighttime parade already. And it felt like everything was deflated because either they're not listening or they just don't care. I don't know which one of the two it is, but it is getting irritating. Craig out.
Okay, so mic drop. So you could actually, so thank you for speaking to the in-room experience, because I was sitting in my living room and went, wait, what? He's done? Like, when Josh was done speaking, wait, I thought something really big was supposed to be announced. I thought we're getting a parade. The entertainment, I thought we were getting a parade, and there's no parade. And it was very womp womp at the end. Yeah. Like, I appreciate the effort that was put into this. However, it is absolutely what you're saying. Either they don't care or they're not listening, or a combination of the two. So,
yeah,
it's just disappointing.
Yeah. And I also don't want this to turn into like, this is all Josh's fault. This is all Bob Chapek's fault. Mm-mm. You know what? They have things that this is a business that's been around a long time. They know what they can announce, when they can announce it in terms of timetables. And in this situation, I'm sure there's a lot of bad news in store for us Disney fans in terms of the future of the parks for right now. And so I fully believe that Josh went in there looking at, here's what I can mention, and this is what I'm going to say, and I'm going to try to say it in an upbeat way with a positive message. And I thought that in terms of a presenter, you know, I've seen over the years many people at D23 events get up in front of a stage and they have to own the room. And there are some really good ones at it, and there are some not good ones. I do think that Josh is great to lead these kind of panels. He has that captivating personality in that way. He knows how to pull in people and build up the anticipation. You know, you want the... If you're going to get the anticipation, though, you want the actual the
payoff
moment. Thank you. you want that payoff, which that didn't really happen. And yeah, churros will live in infamy forever because of it. But yeah, I will say, I thought as a presenter out there, he did a great job of keeping that panel, you know, at least upbeat and fresh. And I look forward to seeing him as the main presenter in parks panels for years and years and years to come. But yeah, I wish there would have been more in the pipeline for Walt Disney World that just could have made it more exciting in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like we were all waiting for that announcement about the parade, and there was no announcement. So hopefully a nighttime parade eventually. And yes, I would love it to be paint the night, even if it's a, you know, a shortened version, whatever, change it up. But I just remember sitting there in Disney California Adventure and seeing that huge Mack the Truck around the corner. And I went, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, mind blown. So yeah, I hope eventually we'll get a parade again. We'll see. We'll take Festival of Fantasy for now, but it'd be great to have something in the evening. But like you said, we are getting another cavalcade. It is the Disney Adventure Friends Cavalcade. It features a lot of our friends who were in Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It, Mouse Could Dance It, whatever, fill in the blank. I personally am glad that Jose Carioca and Panchito Pistoles will be part of that cavalcade. So maybe if you've got a little one in the park and you don't feel like they can sit for Festival of Fantasy, maybe they'll be able to sit through this new cavalcade, and it'll be something fun and just a little different.
Yeah.
Although with the same characters.
Yeah, I mean, so we know that this one has both Disney and Pixar characters in it. So that's nice. You know, Incredibles getting representation. I forget the entire list because he rattled off all the characters that you'd be able to
see. Nick and Judy.
Yep. Nick and Judy Hopps and Moana characters were definitely represented in the artwork and such. So I like I'm okay if this truly is like a Move It, Shake It replacement, because something mm-hmm. about the interactivity of those shows, like, it just, I don't want to say that it annoyed me, but it just, again, caused for unnecessary congestion in the hub area. And then also had a big impact up and down Main Street, because it's like, okay, 5 minutes to come up Main Street, and then you have mm-hmm. a stop in the hub, get everything backed up there for 10 minutes, and then 5 minutes later, it's another 5 minutes down Main Street, just causing lots of traffic issues. So I don't, you know, I, for all we know, it could end up being the same with this, but I have high hopes that this is going to be entertaining and a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I think it will be.
Yeah, for sure. It's I would imagine it's not going to have the dance, you know, party element, like you said, with the stop in the hub and in other locations that Move It, Shake It had. I'm sure they don't want to, although there are dance parties happening in Tomorrowland during the after hours events, but crowding is much lower at that time. Mm-hmm. So they probably just don't want to have a whole bunch of people stopping and dancing in the middle of everything. So glad it's coming. It'll be fun to, check it out for sure. Yeah. And then we are also, as we turn over to Hollywood Studios, we will see in 2022, the return of Fantasmic. So that is one for sure that I am looking forward to. I feel like that park needs it. It's a little, I mean, I've gotten used to the fact that it's not happening at the end of every day, but it is, there is something about, you know, when you are visiting down here, something about ending your day at Fantasmic that just really kind of caps off the entire experience in the park. So I am glad. I'm glad that it's returning. I'm glad that those performers will again be doing their thing. There will be changes to Fantasmic,
which we know. I don't want to say we know, but I don't remember how long ago we started the conversation about changes, and I'm not even going to beat around the bush on this one at all. So the Pocahontas section. While you can agree or disagree in terms of its political correctness or whether or not we're PC police, whatever, any of that, it was clear that the Pocahontas section outlived its welcome, especially for a movie that's not really celebrated. You know, I'm sure there are Disney fans out there who will say that Pocahontas is their favorite Disney movie. And I do love a lot of the music from it. I love Just Definitely. Around the River Bend and Colors of the Wind. I think there's some beautiful, beautiful parts of Pocahontas, but it has outstayed its welcome at Fantasmic, in my opinion. And I don't remember if it was off the rails or somewhere else, but I said that, you know, it felt like, or Rhino might have said it, someone said it, but felt like Moana might be a good fit for it in that section. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the key art that Disney released with it, there is a paddle with the Heart of Tahiti symbol on it that clearly tells that Moana will be added in some way. There is a snowflake in the upper right-hand side to the key art that would also, fortunately or unfortunately for some of us, would maybe hint towards Frozen being part of it, which I don't know
if Let it go,
it
Craig.
Should. I don't. You know, this one seems more like a head-scratcher. The lamp is there for Aladdin and Genie, but yeah, I don't know how drastically the show will change. I think most of it will stay the same, but I definitely think that middle sequence is going to be gone from, you know, away from Pocahontas, and maybe it's a mashup of different Disney elements, movies. Maybe it's just one like Moana, but I don't love the Walt Disney World version of Fantasmic just because the theater is so large. It feels like you lose the intimacy of the show that you have out in Disneyland, but I still see it. When it's running, I see it pretty often, and the chills that I get from Mickey every time he just comes out from the top of that mountain, it's one of the best moments in any Disney show in general. So I'm happy that Fantasmic is getting to come back in a bigger way that will make it a must-see thing. But I also do laugh because someone said in the chat earlier, I think their name was Sean, said, like, getting shows back that just have sections of it retold is like re-gifting a Christmas present. And also do kind of see that aspect of it. But
Yeah. I mean, it absolutely, I'm glad those performers will get back to doing or, you know, what they've been gifted to do, like get out there and do your thing and let us just really enjoy, seeing you do what you're supposed to do. I do hope that the paddle boat, continues. So I hope that still comes through with all the characters in some form or fashion. Yeah.
But
absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sorry for interrupting you there. I also want to point out when we've been saying all this stuff, you know, there's been questions about timetables and such on this.
Yeah.
I wish I had them, but I don't. Like 2022.
I don't.
That is the that is the answer. 2022. That could mean January 1st, 2022. That could mean December 31st. Somewhere in between, hopefully, would be the smart decision. Hopefully, sooner in the winter 2021 or 2022 months, like, you know, January, February, March, or spring, right in that time frame. But we'll see. We'll see. 2022.
We will see.
It's coming.
2022. Summer of 2022 for Guardians is the closest thing that we've got to a definite date on anything for next year. Yep. So that's it. But we'll definitely report on it as soon as it's announced. You can guarantee that we are going to report it. The next thing on the list is the fact that the Disney on Broadway performances will be returning to the Festival of the Holidays, which happens beginning in January and going through mid-February. Festival of the Arts. Thank you. Goodness gracious.
The Farts Festival.
I have a leaf blower right outside my window here. That has me completely distracted right now. Bless his heart. But yes, absolutely. Festival of the Arts. So all those performances that we've really enjoyed in the America Gardens Theater, it's going to be great to be able to sit there and enjoy those again, because it's not quite the same without them.
Yep. I honestly have nothing to say about it. I think it's a great part of Festival of the Arts, and they're always entertaining. So good news all around.
Good. Two thumbs up from Craig. Over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, Finding Nemo the musical will now be retooled. We already knew that was going to be happening, but we actually have a title. It's going to be called Finding Nemo the Big Blue and Beyond.
You forgot the dot dot dot.
I forgot the dot dot dot. Forgive me. Dot, 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 and beyond, which makes me think of Buzz Lightyear. And what is Buzz Lightyear doing hanging out with Nemo in Animal Kingdom? I don't know. So some of our favorite friends from Finding Nemo the musical will be back. It'll be a reimagined show. And of course, it will open, like everything else, at some point in 2022.
Yeah. And the interesting part of Finding Nemo, the great Big Blue and Beyond. I'm never going to get this name right for forever and ever. So I'm just going to call it Finding Dory the show, because they also confirmed that it's taking place in the timeline of Finding Dory. So this is not just Finding Nemo the musical coming back in the original form that it was. We knew that already wasn't the case, but they could have easily still just did a rehashed version of that show. Instead, now it's going to be set in the Finding Dory timeline while taking elements of Finding Nemo the musical, because they have these songs written by Kristen Anderson Lopez and Bobby Lopez that are good songs. I mean, it is literally Broadway writers and Academy Award winners, an EGOT winner writing your songs. Like, yeah, of course they're gonna. Did Bobby Lopez work on it too, or is it just Kristen Anderson? I don't actually.
I'm not 100% on that, Craig.
Anyways, you know, they bounce off ideas to each other at the very least. You have prolific songwriters working on this musical, so you can't just throw away all of the old songs, but. Who knows how they're going to go with it? You know, there's all the rumblings that, okay, well, when it comes back, they're going to use non-equity actors, and that would not be a good thing, but it would save Disney money. I wish I wish they could have just brought back, even though I'm not a fan of Finding Nemo the musical, I wish they could have just said, yeah, we'll just bring this one back. It's easiest to not cut it, not re-enhance it, doing anything like that. Let's just bring the show back that tons of people out there love. But you know what? Maybe it'll be good. With the key art only saying Disney Pixar Finding Nemo on it, I feel like a lot of these decisions were last minute ones to try to announce the name and such. But, you know, 2022. Wow. What a year. What a year.
What a year. Can't wait. Everything's going to be better in 2022. I'm pretty sure of that. So, Craig, part of the big, you know, a cavalcade of announcements from Josh included a peek at that lightsaber, the lightsaber that had been shown all too briefly before, that the internet lost its mind about, that you wrote an amazing article based upon. So you got to see it now with your own two eyes in that space. You also got to see Josh, or clips of Josh, visiting Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, which opens in March 2022. And he went and did the lightsaber training, and he also went to the bridge and pushed a bunch of buttons and then made the Star Cruiser go into hyperspeed, into warp speed. So, so please unpack that a little bit for us.
Okay. I will start with the lightsaber in the room and just say that from where I was sitting, I wasn't sitting in the front section. I was sitting in the next section back. So I was pretty far back from the stage. And if you were watching the live stream, they brought down the lights to give the best effect off. But at the same time too, it also was a way to make the best effect possible and to make it as impressive as it could possibly be. So it was, it looked cool from far away, but I'm not sure about how it would have looked if you were a lot closer up, if it would have still been just as impressive. And obviously it can come out of the lightsaber handle, but it does not go back in, as he just handed it off to the person beside him and they took it away. So maybe they'll get to that eventually and they'll have it be able to retract back in as well as out. It looked cool from far away, but of course that's Rey's and we will never get to touch it. So I've already accepted that, because then in the clips they showed of him doing the lightsaber training, he was just holding a regular one, you know, because he turns it off and literally the light just goes off in it. And the lightsaber training, to me, on the video they released, looked very underwhelming. And that was then backed up on Carly Weissel's podcast, very amusing, as she had a chance to do a sneak peek of Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser and also seconded those thoughts on it. So, you know, and obviously it's not open yet. There will still be tweaks and adjustments to it. But for an experience that everyone has been most excited about, that, like, oh, it's, you finally get to do this lightsaber training that feels like right out of the movie, it seems like it's not going to be that cool. But yeah, it's, go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt, but just to interject real quick, which is disappointing because the artist's renderings, the concept art that we have seen is of someone using the orb like Luke did, in A New Hope. Like, what? So we've got a laser pointer beam coming out of the wall. Okay. We'll just say that's what it's going to be from the start. Don't sell it to be something completely different. I was sitting there going, wait, what?
Yeah.
But anyhow, I digress. Go ahead.
No, I agree with you in terms of concept art not meeting reality. That is always a problem with all theme parks that release concept art. But yeah, and I just want to point out for the people who are watching, listening, none of this really matters unless you were watching. We did show a little clip of Josh doing the lightsaber training. And again, that was just a regular lightsaber that you can already buy right now. I did not showcase the one he showed during the actual presentation, because again, I was sitting far away, so I got video of it, but it just, it, you know, it, doesn't really sell the scene. Your eyes cannot do as well as my iPhone from 50 plus yards away. So that's why I didn't show that one off. But yeah, I, you know, I'm reserving all judgment until I'm there myself one day, which will probably be in 2030 when no one wants to do it anymore. And they drop the price to only $4,000 per stateroom.
Fire sale on the Star Cruiser. $4,000. Exactly. You and me both. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So the bridge, from what I understand, when we all go to light speed, like when he toggles up to go to light speed, the entire building goes into light speed. Is that correct?
Anything that is happening on the bridge will be reflected throughout the entire rest of the Star Cruiser. So if you go to hyperspeed, and you have a window in your area, you will actually be able to see it out the window as well. So I'm guessing that also means they're not going to just let kids constantly pull the lever like every 5 seconds. If the ship's being attacked, I guess you would also see that outside the windows. You might be like, what the heck is happening as I'm relaxing in my room and you're seeing a dogfight outside the window. But I also don't know if that's going to happen in this story because we haven't done it yet. But yeah, it will be reflected all around the ship.
So cool. Yeah. So cool. So it was neat to kind of see inside and to see Josh experience some of the things that those who will be on the Star Cruiser will get to experience. It is a little, there's a bit of a bit of a disconnect. While it looks, it looks really neat. It's that thing that I don't know that I'll be doing that anytime soon. So, okay, I'll live vicariously through others who might get to experience it sooner than I will. Mm-hmm. And I hope the hardcore fans love it. I do want to say, though, Craig, what Brad just said in the live chat, no two dudes on a Star Cruiser, that's disappointing.
It will be disappointing. No, I genuinely don't know what Disney's going to do. This is one of those realms that hasn't been really crossed before. Star Cruiser is selling incredibly well, so arguably they do not need to do big media pushes from it. It could be smaller media events that, you know what, if we are a part of it, I will be gracious. Again, we won't be able to review it, but I will be happy to go there, experience it, and share what all occurred during the experience. But I don't know. It might be a thing where, you know what, this costs so much money. We only want massive, massive national and international news stations to be the ones that cover it, and big magazines and such. It could be a thing where we do get invited to go and able to experience it. In that case, we would be able to do potentially two dudes on a Star Cruiser. Or it could just be, nothing. And they could say, we're going to do preview cruises with people who are invited guests. One family won a trip on the Star Cruiser as being in the audience for Destination D23. I'm sure they will do other types of previews. So I don't know. I don't know, but I would love to do it if we have the opportunity, but yeah. An experience that is that expensive, I'm also not expecting it to happen, but I would love to, because I would never, I can't justify that money. And I can't, as I've said before, I can't even tell Pete, hey, you should spend this money for us to go do it, because we will be able to make sure that it's worth it financially. I mean, yeah, it is, from a sense of, we can then advise any people who are booking travel through Dreams Unlimited Travel, whether or not it's worth the money for it. But it seems like it's going to be such a subjective vacation, being able to do the Star Cruiser. What ends up being a cool experience for me might not be a cool one to the next person who comes along. Very much like Destination D. It's an event that, if you love having your butt parked in a chair for 2 days straight, hearing nerdy history stuff, this will be the greatest event. But if you showed up expecting to hear the most exciting Disney news, see celebrities like at D23 Expo, this was not the expo for you. So,
okay, that's a perfect segue, because my next question to you was going to be, what are your top three things from your weekend? You spent three entire days at the Destination D event at Contemporary Resort, going from panel to panel. You did an amazing job covering it on social. What were your top three things?
Obviously, seeing Kermit. That was, that was the biggest one. Having the chance to see Kermit the Frog. It's not the first time I've seen him at a D23 event. It's actually the third now, but always, always cool anytime Kermit makes an appearance. I loved the archives exhibit that they had. It featured all the shopping throughout the years, which is really, really neat. And then the Imagineering exhibit also showcased some of the props from, like, there was the robot butler from Horizons and a Figment,
so cool.
And a lot of cool retro stuff. One of the Footlight Parade girls from Great Movie Ride, you know, that was doing the synchronized swimming. They had one of those in there. So those two things were cool. And then I hate to say it in this way, but, you know, it's always a pleasure getting to shop at Mickey's of Glendale, the Imagineering exclusive shop. It's cool stuff, because you know that, like, only the people who have access to Imagineering, so, like, friends of Imagineers, people who go on a Backstage Magic tour that gets them into Imagineering, or people who get to go to the pop-up events, either through D23 or at a D23 event. Those are the only people who get to buy these things, and then the Imagineers themselves. And they make the coolest stuff for Imagineers. So I'm sorry for bragging about it in that way, but it's honestly, I think that is a big reason of why people want to go to events like D23 and Destination D. It's to have a chance to shop at Mickey's of Glendale. And I'm sure there's people who went, shopped, and didn't see a single panel or anything else. And so I'm just saying it as it will always be a staple at Destination D23, and it will always be a staple at D23 Expo. So if you are into that exclusive shopping, exclusive pins, things like that, it's a reason to go out of your way to the event, even if you don't care about anything else. Yeah, it's a lot of money for something like that, but who knows?
But you're going to see merch that you are literally not going to see anywhere else. I mean, you know, I'm so blessed to be able to go to Imagineering and to shop in Mickey's of Glendale, which is kind of has a little bit of a bittersweet tinge right now because of everything that's going on with Imagineering at 1401 Flower. Like, are they shutting things down? Is the Mickey's of Glendale even going to be accessible, even going to be like the original around? So it makes getting to these events and getting to shop from that amazing merch even more special.
Yeah,
for sure. So, and what you were showing on social on Saturday, like some of the souvenirs throughout the years, fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely fantastic.
Oh,
so,
no, absolutely. And I do want to point out one other thing, too. I forgot about it, but Zoe brought it up here. Dick Nunes, I wish that those live streams were available, or that they released portions of it at some point in time, because on Sunday they did it was about a 30 minute sit down with Dick Nunes, Disney legend Dick Nunes. And the man does not have a filter. Tells it like it is, and it was one of the most entertaining panels I have ever sat through with anyone talking about Disney. I took like moments of video and such that I will definitely use it to refresh, but I know that Michael and I are going to do a deep dive on Destination D23 on connecting with Walt, because Michael takes the best notes ever on these events. So I'm sure we'll get a lot, if not most, of the stories from that panel one day here. So I completely forgot about it. But everyone in the room, that was like, everyone was just like, I can't believe how good that last 30 minutes was getting to hear from him. So that was another highlight too.
That is so cool. I look forward to that episode then. That's amazing. Yeah. Any, that's living Disney history. And I love it even more so if it's just told like it is, like without too much editing. Let's just stand up there and say it. I love it. Was there anything else announced that we did not touch on that you want to touch on, Craig?
Not today. So there was, okay. Honestly, there was stuff for Disneyland that I'm sure we'll touch on at some point in time, maybe in an upcoming Off the Rails episode, you know, because we always need Off the Rails topics. And yes, since we try not to, I don't want to say we try not to cover Disneyland too much on this, but, you know, it's when something big happens at Disneyland, we cover it on this. So hopefully we'll do an Off the Rails on some of the Disneyland updates. I'm sure the DVC show is going to cover the Disneyland Hotel Tower little update. Yep. Not a lot to do, probably a full episode on it, but maybe a little bit. I know Disney Cruise Line show will probably tackle some news about the new shows in an upcoming episode as well too. So a lot of the announcements, I think we'll get a chance to talk about in other places. But yeah, for this, I think we hit all the big topics for Walt Disney World that were discussed.
Awesome. And if you are listening or watching and you'd like to know some of those things that we've not touched base on today and that we'll do in other shows, you can always read Amy Krieger's recap article that she put up on Saturday. Both of the entertainment announcements, live entertainment announcements, and then of Josh D'Amaro's announcements, you can read those recaps. It's at wdwinfo.com. Jackie has highlighted there's been Disney Wish news already today. Jackie has written that up for dclfan.com. So definitely check those out. And of course, just like Craig said, tune in to the episodes once we have them up, because there's a lot more good stuff to be able to talk about. So meanwhile, we want to know what announcements you were hoping for, what announcements you're excited about, all that jazz. There's certainly a lot to be excited about. And obviously, it's all happening in 2022. So we'll all just hang in there for the next month and some. And maybe it'll just come January 1st, Craig. Maybe it'll just all magically appear. Wouldn't that be great?
It would be fantastic. But I think I will learn to fly before then.
I think you are right. I think you just might. So as always, thank you so much, Craig, for joining in on this conversation. I really appreciate it. And thanks for having me as a part of the conversation.
Thank you.
It was fun to get to have a convo with you today, to get to hang out virtually with you. We do wish that Pete and Fiasco feel better very quickly, and we hope that you and your family and your friends have an absolutely wonderful Thanksgiving. We are incredibly thankful for you, whether you are listening or whether you are watching or doing all of the above. We are just really thankful that you have spent part of your week tuning in and being a part of the conversation. We don't take that for granted. That's a really big deal, and your time is very precious. So thank you so much for doing that. We hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you next time. Take good care, everyone. Bye.